Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hi, folks, and welcome to The Hang. In this episode, we are hanging with the incredible Welsh actress, singer, and songwriter, Lucy Jones. Lucy has had an eclectic career, which we all in the UK first met her on The X Factor as she was one of the series finalists in 2009. Then she took to the stage in various leading roles in Les Miserables, We Will Rock You, Legally Blonde, The Wedding Singer, and up until the pandemic, Jenna in Waitress. Lucy also represented the United Kingdom in the Eurovision Song Contest in 2017. Now recently, Lucy headlined her own solo show at the Adelphi Theatre in London. That show was recorded live and will soon be released as an album. I wanted to hear about Lucy's experience about putting that show together and her journey with the musical Waitress. Sadly, because of the pandemic, the recording of this podcast was done just before that, and since then, Waitress has announced its closure in London. Lucy is one of the kindest people I know, and I admire how hard she works. I love how she always has a busy creative mind and is willing to try new adventures to grow as an artist.
Welcome to The Hang, Lucy Jones.
Hello, thanks for having me.
You have a show tonight.
I do, yes.
What's going on with that?
It's just a small, it was St. David's Day this week, which is the patron saint of Wales.
Yes.
And the Royal Guards Chapel in the palace. I will be singing with the Welsh Guard, with the Royal Welsh Guard, so the brass band of the Welsh Army.
Wow.
Yeah, it's cool. I do it every year. It's a really great gig. It's free. Everyone comes down and we just have a lovely time.
All right, so you're not nervous about it. I'm not like, because right away I was like, why are you doing this today?
Oh, gosh, no, not at all. It's a really nice gig. I do it every year. I know the band guys really well. I know the promoters and the producers really well, so it's super chill. And then we all go out and have dinner afterwards at the Cavalry Club. It's very la-di-da, I mean. It's very not me. But it's really fun. It's
you can pull it off.
maybe. Once a year, yeah.
So good to see you.
You too, man. It's been ages, yeah.
And you're like a big star of Waitress now, which I know you're on a break.
Yes, I'm on a break.
And you're going back to it?
Yes, I go back in the middle of March until June.
Perfect.
And then the show closes in July.
And I can come finally see it
yes,
now that I'm
can.
Around.
If you don't, then I refuse to let you put this podcast out. You have
deal.
To come.
It's a deal. I'm going to book my tickets now.
Yeah.
Well, Lucy, we were in touch during all that. Talk about resilience.
Yeah.
Good
yeah.
for you. You know, like people go for these big roles, especially something as popular as Waitress, and I'm sure Dear Evan Hansen probably went through something like that. I've been through things like that where roles... You audition, and you keep thinking, what more do you want to see?
Mm-hmm. This was a funny one as well, because as soon as the show was announced that it was coming here, I gunned for it. I put it right in my sights, and I did everything I could for it. And the audition process all went really well. We did this final mix and match session where I met with David Hunter and Marisha and Laura and Pete Hanna, who was our original Earl, and... Everyone started to get offers and they kept saying to me, we really, really, really want you. We're just, you know, ironing out some corners. And then they called me and said, oh, we've actually put out an offer to Kat McPhee to start the show and we'd like you to be the understudy. To which I said, I'm respectfully, my heart is completely in this now. I can't do that. I don't think I can sit and watch that happen when... If I'd always been auditioning for an understudy, then it would have been a completely different thing. Mm-hmm. I'm nowhere near above it or anything, not at all. It just, my heart was in a different place with it.
Yeah, and that's fair enough.
Yeah. So when they then eventually came back to me and said, would you like to take over from Catherine? Obviously, I said yes, because there I was. No announcement, just Kat went off to New York to have a wedding dress fitting and... I went on. no announcement, no
Oh, you
display.
Went on before you were meant to start.
Yep, no display in the front of house, no Twitter, no social media, no what's on stage, none of it. It was very strange.
Did you kind of love that, though?
It was great. No, because there was so little pressure on me. Because it wasn't like a, oh, there's this new person coming in to take over this great role in this great show. It was just, I just rocked up, did my rehearsal and went, okay, good. And just before the curtain came in, out for the start of the show, the overture starts, which is Sarah Bareilles singing, sugar, 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 butter, flour. And then the curtain flies out. And as soon as the sugar went, I went, oh, my God, I'm actually doing this. And there's someone stood behind me and I just grabbed him with both my hands. And he was like, you can do this.
Yeah, you can.
And I never looked back from that moment. It's been amazing. I'm not there right now because Sarah's playing the role.
Yeah.
But I'll be back. And it's had its ups and downs, as all jobs do. But at the core of it is a really great show and a really great team, and we've had a great time.
I hear only great things about it, and specifically your performance.
Oh, well, thank you. I pay good people to come and say nice things about me.
Well, listen, I just heard snippets of you just singing Sugar right now, and I was like, oh, there's that voice. I've missed that. It's like, we've known each other since the 25th anniversary of Les Mis. Uh-huh. That's when we first met, right?
Yes, yeah, the O2.
And we became great friends, and I'd like to still think we are that, because even though years can kind of separate when we see each other, because yeah, I went away, yeah, but it feels like...
But I saw you when you were away. I saw you in New York, and I came to see the show. And you're also, you're that friend of mine. I have quite a few of them in our industry, I think, that you just pick up where you left off. Yeah, there's no hard feelings. There's no, why didn't you call me?
No, and there's no catch-up text. It's just like, so anyways, it's like we're right into it, as if... I was just talking to you yesterday.
Hey, I know it's been 3 years, but are you about for a coffee? And you're like, yeah, sure, I'll see you right now. And then that's it.
Yeah.
I kind of like that about our industry, because the people that you actually click with and you actually connect with, you will always have that. And then there's the periphery people that you work with, and if you don't see them, they're like, why didn't you call me? And you're like, oh,
that pressure.
You're not my friend. You don't care about me in the same way.
My filter now is if I get that pressure, I'm like, okay, you're not weighing up my kids, my travel, my, like, what time? Do you think I'm sat at home with all this free time?
Yeah, I'm just sat at home going, no, avoiding you for 6 to 8 months. Then I might consider you. No, absolutely not.
And then my dilemma is, I know they're like, well, you can text or whatever, but I don't always be on my phone either.
Of course.
I'm specifically turning it off now. Like, I'm not going to touch that thing. I'll try and wake up. I'm not touching my phone for the first 2 hours.
Mm-hmm. That's a really good plan. I read something recently that was, wake up, take a shower, eat your breakfast, do your workout, whatever you need to do. Like, make sure there's been a good hour of you before you then look at social media or read your emails or whatever. And that, if that means getting up earlier, get up earlier, do it. And I did it, for like a week, but I did it and I really felt great. It really does make a difference to how your day kind of plays out.
You have to take care of yourself.
Yeah, for sure.
So I don't even know if I want to start in about X Factor and stuff. That's...
Do it. Why not?
I feel there's going to be a connection because the reason I want to get you on here now, and obviously... There's so much we can talk about, which there'll be other opportunities. You just did a concert at the Adelphi Theater, correct?
Yes, I did.
I saw photos. I wasn't here. I was just getting back from Japan when it was happening. Mm-hmm. I guarantee I would have been there. I promise.
No, I know
but
you would
the have. Photos I saw, the joy coming out of just the photo, your eyes, the audience. First of all, your photographer was great because they caught amazing moments. What was going on with that? What brought about you doing a solo? Because was that your first time doing your own full-on show like that?
Oh, yeah.
Because I know with X Factor, you did gigs.
Yeah.
Or you're part of a bunch of people, or you've done musical theater concerts. This is Lucy Jones selling the Adelphi Theater.
Yeah, it was, it sounds so dramatic, doesn't it? It started off as Freddie Tapner and I, Freddie of the London Musical Theater Orchestra.
An amazing, yeah. amazing
one of
person.
My favorite people in the whole world.
Yeah,
we've worked together for the last 4 or 5 years on lots of different projects, and he has become one of my closest friends. We see each other about once a week, and we kind of catch up. And like, he's my sounding board for a lot of things, and I'll have like 3 business plan ideas a week, and I'll run them all by Freddie, and he'll be like, "Absolutely not, it's terrible." Oh no, there's some growth in that, and so we kind of.
Yeah, Freddie will give you honesty for sure.
100%, 110. Hi, Freddie. He is a great guy. And he was sat in my dressing room with me and we were talking about one of my many business ideas. And he said, what are you going to do with your 6 weeks off? Because by this time I knew Sarah Bareilles was going to come in and play Jenna. And I said, I don't know, I kind of want to do an album, but I don't know in what order to do it. I don't know whether I should record it whilst I'm sitting the show and then promote it and tour it while I'm off. Or do I take those 6 weeks to finish off some writing and do it that way? Or do I do a musical theatre? I'm like, what am I going to do here? And then we start to talk about, because of Waitress and because of where I am right now, it makes sense for it to be a musical theatre style album. But I'm not a huge listener of a studio musical theatre album. Doesn't mean I don't like them at all. I've listened to them lots in the past. I don't think it suits me in the way that I perform. And I just love going to see people on stage in their element with live musicians, and that atmosphere is just so special. And we don't have many live recordings of a solo artist. We have lots of, you know, a concert version of a show, or the desk recording of Legally Blonde is the most played version of Legally Blonde.
Really?
Yeah, the Sheridan one in London. And I love those. I love those things. So we thought, oh, why don't we do... It started off as, well, why don't we call Zadell's, see if they've got an hour somewhere, and we'll literally just do an hour straight through. I'll do a couple of little chats, but mainly just singing some stuff from my career, and we can desk record it and see how it goes. That very quickly escalated into, we've booked the Adelphi.
Yeah, of course you did.
And we've got Freddie's 22-piece orchestra, and it's selling really well, and we're going to do it for a full-scale album. So it's an 18-track live album.
Holy shit, 18.
Yeah, I know. And actually, at the start of the year, I had a little bit of trouble with my voice. When I made my set list at the end of last year, I was soaring. My voice had never been better. So I didn't help myself out there. But surprisingly, or not surprisingly, depending on how you look at it, my body took over and it was great. It was absolutely fine. And I had...
You found the joy in it.
Yeah, I really did. You know, as soon as I came... I'll play it for you before I leave today. It's just the front track. I'm a fan of musical theatre. I'm a fan of music. I love to watch things. I like to be in a live room. I never anticipated that I would walk onto a stage like that as me to a sold out room and hear that kind of response. And when you hear it, I burst into tears. And I honestly, it's so overwhelming. It was awesome. And these, I don't like to call them fans, but like, people that buy tickets and support us. And yeah, it honestly, I can't put it into words how much it actually means, because it wasn't perfect, and they sat there and they smiled and they laughed and they were totally, entirely with me for the whole of it. And it was just the best experience I've ever had on stage.
What is that word, perfect? Who wants perfect?
Well, exactly.
Aha, perfection. Imperfection gives you the character. It makes
Which
it
is
unique.
Why I wanted it live. Yeah. Because that live aspect, and yeah, I mean, we've fixed a couple of things. We've fixed like sound problems, and we've brought up the trumpets at some parts in the sound mix, and we have to do all of those things.
That doesn't ruin the integrity of it. And even if you had to fix any vocals, to get it all in one go, who does
that? Yeah, unrealistic. It is unrealistic, but it's...
Well, you're not going to lose the essence and the overall, like even 85% is what was there.
Yeah, and we mic'd the audience.
Oh,
so
beautiful.
They're on this album, which is another reason why I wanted to do it this way, because I'm trying to pave a way here so that other people can come out and do this, because I want to go and see people in this environment. I want to see the London Musical Theatre Orchestra with Ramin Karimloo at the Palladium or whatever. I want to see that. So why...
Is
Why
this one
not
of your business
it?
Ideas now?
I mean, something's just pinged
You've
in my head.
You've got a live production company now?
Yeah, not quite. No, I don't
Lucy
quite.
Lucy Joan Records.
LJR. That genuinely is my record label.
I want to sign me up. Is that a new thing, LJR?
No, it's everything that I've ever released has been
right, okay.
off my own back. Because I've been signed and dropped many times. So it just made more sense to do it my way and... you know, occasionally ask people if they'll help me out financially. And
Lucy, from the day one that I've met you, you've had a business head on, you were very tenacious and resilient and smart.
And oh, thanks.
To know where you are now with all the experience you've had, come on.
No, it's been a good time. It's been it's an interesting life that we've chosen to have, isn't it? And I'm learning about it every day, and I think I will continue to until the day I stop or I leave or I die or whatever. But it's so entirely worth it.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
You know what made my heart burst is when you first moved into the Adelphi, you text me, you went, I'm in your dressing room.
I know.
And
well,
I was like,
because when
my
I walked
dressing
in,
room, bless your heart.
I just remember coming to that dressing room and writing songs with you.
I know, with all that prosthetics on.
And literally, you couldn't leave the show in between at Love Never Dies.
Yeah.
Because you had, you know, the phantom half face thing going on.
Did I ever do that thing? Because we had those three windows, right? Where I'd stand in one, people would notice me, and then I'd duck down. They'd be like, wait, there was a guy there. Then I'd be at the other window. They're like, oh, there he is. But then the rest of the group would be like, what are you talking about, man? You've had enough to drink. That would take a good half hour of my waiting time.
I love that. You should have done it like one side of your face and then at the other side and the other window with the other side of your face.
Yeah. So back to your album, which I'm so excited to hear. Now, do you have a title? Are you allowed to talk about that?
Yeah, of course. Very simply and unimaginatively, it's Lucy Jones Live at the Adelphi.
I'm so glad it is that because it's genuine.
Mm-hmm.
18 tracks. How many songs did you sing on the
night? So I actually sang 18 songs. One of the songs I'm keeping back for another reason. Mm-hmm. And I decided to treat, it's 18 tracks, 17 songs. I've decided to keep in the conversation that I had with the audience about my audition process for Waitress, about my love for Sarah Bareilles. And I just thought I wouldn't be able to be doing this right now without that show and without that woman and without that theatre, and without those supporters and those people in the room, those specific moment in time. So I rambled, but I'm just leaving it completely uncut and how it was. I just thought it was a nice moment to have in there. I've not included any other conversation because that was purely for the night. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I thought that bit was special.
So that's a heck of a production cost to put this album together.
As in financially?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I had a producer for the show. Good. And he found the bulk of the money. And then I was very generously sponsored for the album side of things by the Alpha Club.
Yeah, I saw that on a poster.
They're
great patrons.
Yeah, they
when
really
are. When I see
are.
How and they work with Ben Forster and the stuff they put on, this concert we're doing, this is going to air after that. But
yeah,
man, like they...
They're amazing. And
we need more people like that.
Yeah, they're great people. They want to invest their money into things that they enjoy, but also they think is a bright thing to be doing. And they just sit and smile and love every minute of everything that they do. And I was just thrilled to be on board with them as well. Because I've been with them for years. I did their first ever lunch as the Alpha Club in the Shard. And... I got this call saying, can you come and do this gig? I was like, yeah, of course. Can you do it with acoustic guitar? And I was like, oh, yeah, God, I'm played and sung. Do that in public. Like that's a sitting at home writing mediocre songs kind of thing.
Yeah.
Can you do Life on Mars, please? I was like, why? what is it? What? Who are these people? What the hell? So I went in and I played Life on Mars.
Did you play?
Yeah. And they went, they went absolutely nuts. They were on their feet, like singing, joining it. It was great.
So you only had to do that one number?
I did a few. I did a few others on, like, on the spot, but because
your guitar skills.
I know, God, I've had the same guitar since when I was writing with you, and I bought that cheap clapped out thing from a charity shop in Putney. I've still got it, and I'm not very good.
But it's headlined a show.
Who cares? Yeah, headlined the highest building. But yeah,
so album's gonna have 17 songs.
17 songs, 18 live. Tracks. Yeah.
Who's producing the album?
Me. So,
what, you're doing all the mastering?
No, so the mix and master is by someone external, but the production of it and everything and the arrangements and it were all kind of from my head and my heart with Fred's, and we had arrangers obviously do all the dots and the parts and everything, but I really wanted it to be something that I will listen to selfishly in 60 years' time and be like, shit, man. I really loved that song. God, that moment is, I just wanted it to be like a memory for me with these people in this place at this time.
Because it is a timestamp so cool. Of a moment.
Yeah. It was so cool.
That's so brave and beautiful.
Oh, it was horrifically arrogant and scary. And I have went through phases of like three emotions every minute for the 6 weeks leading up to it. I was like, why am I doing this? Who do I think I am?
Exactly.
Then
my
I was
thoughts
like,
when I
this
tour.
Is going to be great.
Yeah.
And we're all going to have a great time and they're here to see me. It doesn't matter. They want to hang out. They want to do the songs and whatever. And then I'm like, maybe they feel like forced into it. Like, what are you doing?
I totally understand what you're thinking.
It's like,
but I love that
imposter
you are
syndrome.
Thinking that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's that feeling of, wait, I've asked people to pay how much to come see me sing songs that I choose that I want to sing. Who do I think I am?
Exactly. God. But no, it was great. The audience were awesome. The orchestra were amazing. Always are with Freddie.
Yeah. Not going to go wrong there.
No, absolutely not. And the arrangements were like really beautifully done and amazingly executed. And yeah, I'm gushing and repeating myself, but it really was the best night. It was so good.
So do you have a release date?
No. I'm kind of playing with that slightly.
You have a ballpark of when you'd like it to come out?
Well, I can't decide whether to do it right now and just go, hey, this concert's just happened, here's the album, run with it. Or to give it a little moment. I want people to be sick of me. Do you
no
know what I mean?
Sick of, we need more of you.
No, but you know what I mean. Like, I'm just about to go back into the show. I'm going to be on your posters again. I'm going to be on YouTube with you. Do you really need another layer of that? Or should I just wait until the summer and be like, here it is. Thank you so much.
All right. Well, let's think of it business sense.
Mm-hmm.
People come see you in your show. They're seeing your face around town. It's for what? Being a music theater actress.
Mm-hmm.
We want to hear you sing more.
Yeah, here's the album.
So when I go to see a show, and if the performer or artist that I enjoyed, especially in a musical, if I like their voice and their what they're all about, they have
you
an album here
up.
Too?
Yeah.
No, even in the theater,
oh,
selling it in the theater.
Yeah. Or if they let me sell them, I don't know.
They will. They'll take a huge cut. That's why, folks, if you ever wonder why CDs are so expensive in the theater, it's not because the artist is parking.
Yeah.
It. You know, there's a massive markup for
God,
the theater.
We're so rich. You wouldn't believe. I have so much money. Oh,
if it's ready, I'd love to, I would think get it out. But, you know,
it's going to
you
be ready
best.
In like a few days. We finished, the master is happening like today as we speak.
There's going to be physical copies. It's not just a download thing?
It's going to be physical copies as well, yeah.
So you got to sell it. Where else are you going to, everyone downloads. So at least your physical copies are going to go front of house.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Oh, I don't know. I have a very good friend of mine works for Decca, and she's going to help me out with a bit of a plan for it.
She probably knows more than me, by
the way.
No, she knows
more than any of us. But I'm going to speak to her, but I imagine she'll say the same as you. I think I'm just being paranoid. But then in 5 minutes, I'll be like, no, you know what? I'm going to put a track out today. Like, it's just so chops and changes all the time. But I find that is, best laid plans never really work out.
So let's say, well, whatever happens with the CD, whether it's on sale or not, you're going back to Waitress
till... I will be back until the middle of June.
So is there, are you thinking maybe tour the album after that?
Do you want to do more concerts? There is a couple of other concerts that will be happening of the album later this year.
Lucy Jones live.
Yeah. So the same stuff that I did in London, in other cities around the UK, basically.
Is it set or you're working on it?
It's set. It's not out on sale yet or anything, and I haven't put the dates out there.
Is it a scaled down?
Slightly. It's the same size band, and yeah.
How many is in the band?
22.
I thought we're scaling it down.
No.
Holy shit.
As in, we're scaling down the size of the venue slightly.
You're taking 22 musicians with you?
Not taking musicians. I'm fixing the musicians in each city. But it's...
Whoa.
Yeah. It's...
I tour with 5 hillbillies and it's super expensive. 22?
It's 5 hillbillies. Really good.
They're my family.
I know. And you do wonderful, wonderful things. These songs, the way that it's been done, I would hate for someone to pick up the album and then come and see the live show and expect it to be that, you know, big band, orchestra, musical theatre, soaring strings, and then, you know, me and a pianist and a cellist.
No, I understand.
In a studio theatre is very different. But if we're going into these still large venues, I think we need that. And it's really not a moneymaker for me. I'm not making any money from it.
It can't be.
But exactly. So if you see me on the street, give me money.
Yo, listen, 20, that's a... They're certainly going to get value for money.
Ah, yeah. No, it'll be a good show. It'll always be a good show. And I'll always have some pals come and sing with me and... Yeah, you should come. You should come do one if you're around. It'd be awesome.
I'm here.
Woohoo!
I have a few trips lined up this year, but
yeah.
Most
what are
of
you
it,
doing?
It doesn't matter. well, listen. Right now, and this will go out soon enough, but I'm sure even when this goes out, the whole COVID-19 issues will probably still exist. Sadly,
I think they will. Yeah.
And it's like traveling in London today. I'm like, I'm not actually worried about the virus itself. It's how it's being handled or everyone's reactions or the restrictions on what you can do. So, you know, I got a concert in Japan lined up. There was talk to finally going to China. Mm-hmm. Obviously that's been postponed now. So who knows what will happen because anything that gets shifted might have to be canceled because my filming at Holby is going on till December.
Yeah.
They so can the only help so much. And, yeah. They've been so good as it is, but if you start changing it, they got storylines set up. So
of course. Yeah.
Going to, Germany?
Yeah.
Yeah. Going to Japan twice. Well, that's the plan. Why are you laughing? I'm going on a cruise with John Barrowman.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yes. Is that a musical theater cruise?
Yeah.
Tell me about... I'm fascinated by these. So you literally get on a cruise ship with the musical theater performers and you all do shows throughout the week and...
I guess.
It's like a musical theater...
I'm going on with my band. So I feel we're going to be least liked.
You might be a breath of fresh air.
Hopefully.
I would think of it that way.
And hopefully the ship will be clean.
Yeah, well.
I don't know.
I'm supposed to be going to Japan this week. Not going. Cancelled. Everything's closed.
What were you going to do this
week? I was just going for a trip, for a holiday. And everything is closed. And it's been booked for a little while.
Were you able to get your money back?
Kind of. Lots of it. But, like, most people have gone... We see this is not your fault, but smaller companies are like, we are going to die if you try and fight us on this.
Yeah, I get it. I feel for anyone who's affected by it.
I do. It's awful. I mean, but what it does mean is that I'm coming back to Waitrose slightly sooner because I was due to be away for slightly longer, just by a few days. But that's one silver lining because I really do love the show. That'd be nice.
So what... do you have planned after? So you might concertize. Well, you have some concerts. We're going to announce them soon.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you want to get back to another role?
I do. My eye's on something.
Okay.
But you never know with these things.
I know what it is, but I'm not going to say. But really? I'll do it off mic.
Oh.
What if I guess now and you don't want to talk about it? Or if I guess right?
Well, go on. Tell me, but don't say it out loud.
Well, these are sensitive mics, Lucy. Wait, I'm looking at the clock because you said you wanted to pay for more parking.
I do need to pay for more parking. Sorry, Alan.
Here we are on The Hang with Lucy Jones. Very insightful. She's First of all, what iPhone is that?
My phone got stolen, so I've just got a new one.
Welcome to Ringo.
O2 of
BMW. Why don't you have the app?
My SIM card isn't working, so they've given me a pay-as-you-go thing. So, I don't care.
So Lucy's trying to put more time on her parking, and I'm in two minds whether I might keep this in. And let's see if you can concentrate, whether I can concentrate with... How much longer are you going to add it for?
An hour. I'll add an hour.
Are you allowed to stay? Because we're about to get kicked out of here.
Oh, are we?
But are we allowed to go hang for a hot second?
Please call back later. Oh, I'm not allowed to park for another hour anyway. Never mind.
When does it run out?
It's like now, but it's fine. It'll be fine for a minute. It's fine. Let's carry on talking.
So you have your eye on some projects.
Yeah,
you're still hungry to get back on stage in a musical.
Yeah, absolutely. I love musicals. I love being in them. I've been on tour for a long time doing lots of great shows, but Waitress being in London was what I wanted. I wanted to be at home. I wanted to be in the city where my home is, with my people, with my husband, with my dogs. I just wanted to be at home. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that for a while. I'm more than happy if a role comes in that I want to do and it's in London. I'm not going to go, oh, it's not very interesting, or, oh, maybe I should be looking at, you know, doing a chamber play, or like, I don't care. I just want to be at home and do my job and feel happy and earn some money. Yeah. Not much.
And being happy, that's the main thing.
Oh, God.
We have to be happy.
I've been such a workaholic for my whole adult life. And you're right, I'm so driven and I'm like obsessive with it sometimes. But recently something's just slightly changed in me. And I love my job, don't get me wrong. And I will always be completely committed to it. But there just comes a point where all the bullshit and the drama and, you know, and like things that go on within a building where people spend a lot of time with each other, I don't care about it anymore. No. I used to kind of really concern myself with everyone else's happiness, but you can't.
No, it doesn't define you.
You just
who you
can't.
Are.
But it's also, you can't help someone else not be bothered by stupid drama.
You're absolutely right. Well, listen, Lucy, I'm going to look out for your album. We're
Thank
all
you.
Going to promote it once it's out, once you're
Thank
ready.
You.
I hope you do sell it front of house. I'm going to have you back. We're going to hang some more because there's so much more I want to talk
about.
Yeah,
me too. I have so many things. I want to do one with you, like me being Ramin, you being Ramin. Like I'll be the host, Ramin, and I'll interview Ramin.
Okay, let's do that.
Yeah, we should, because I have so many questions.
Lucy, I adore you. Thank you for the
hang. I love you. Bye. Mwah.
Well, thanks for hanging with Lucy and I. I'm so excited to hear her album. Her voice is one of the best around, and she's an incredible artist. I'm bummed I won't get to see her as Jenna and Waitress with the show announcing its closure due to the coronavirus pandemic. However, we do have her live performance and this album to look forward to. I can't wait.
The Hang is produced by Dori Beristein and Alan Seals from the Broadway Podcast Network. You can find me online at bpn.fm/thehang. Don't forget, you can connect with me on Instagram and Twitter at Ramin Karimloo, on YouTube, a roaming Iranian, or my Facebook page, Official Ramin Karimloo. Music for my podcast is by my friends and one of my favorite bands, The Dives. Please check them out at their website, thedivesmusic.com. That's thedivesmusic.com, where you can get to know them, hear their incredible music, get links to all their socials, and most importantly, their tour dates, where you can find out where you can see and hear them live. They are truly a great band, and they are phenomenal live. Check them out.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps.
A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Suffs celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Suffs has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com.